Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Sarasota. It is good to have you with us. I speak these words each Sunday as we begin our worship together. And I don't say them casually or lightly. It is good to have you with us. You didn't sleep in. You didn't stay at home to read the newspaper. You're not on the tennis court or sipping coffee at a coffee shop. You are in church. You've decided to get up, to get dressed, and get yourself to church. And not just any church, but this church. And I, for one, am very glad you are here. But why are you here? When I was studying for the ministry, the president of the Unitarian Universalist Seminary I attended, Starr King School for the Ministry in Berkeley, was a man named Robert Kimball, Bob Kimball. Bob died last May at the age of 88, and news of his death stimulated me to reread a book he wrote back in the 1980s. Called Restless is the Heart. When Bob was invited to speak at a religious conference, he often asked the leaders of the conference for some time together. The conferences always had a grand topic or theme, such as the future of science and spirituality, or racism and liberal religion. And these are similar to the sermon topics or the titles of many of our adult education programs here at this church. But my teacher, Bob Kimball, taught young ministers that in addition to a stated outward theme, outward topic, people come to religious programs, they come to Sunday worship with inner questions. And he would ask the planning group of a conference to write anonymously what they wanted to deal with for themselves at the conference. The responses reflected the types of questions that people bring to religious communities like ours. One person wrote, "How can I avoid being boxed into a world by what others expect of me?" Maybe one way would be to experience that some people accept me as I really am. Another wrote that she was interested in the discrepancy between what we think we ought to be, what we try to show to others, and what we know ourselves to be. A third person wrote, "My God, they'll stomp on you if you relax." And a fourth wrote, "Mess up my life a little, lovingly." The requests run deep. I suspect that these anonymous written remarks are similar to what some of you might write if I ask you to write anonymously what you want to deal with for yourself as you participate in this religious community. I suspect that you in this congregation might also write questions about such nitty-gritty matters. Many people found Unitarian Universalist churches after they became adults. Consider, for example, a story told by the Reverend John Wolfe. When World War II broke out, the man in this story was a high school principal in South Carolina. The state legislature in South Carolina passed a statute mandating that all children repeat the oath of allegiance to the flag before each school day. However, the principal had some Seventh-day Adventist children in his school, and for religious reasons, they were not supposed to repeat anything like an oath of allegiance. So these children would not be embarrassed in the South Carolina school, the principal allowed the children to come to his office during the oath and pick up around his office, emptying waste baskets and things during the first part of the school assembly. That worked well until a homeroom teacher found out about it. And in an exercise of righteousness and patriotism, held a surprise oath of allegiance in her classroom when the Seventh-day Adventist children were present, and then reported them to the principal when they did not participate. Instead of reprimanding the children, the principal reprimanded the teacher. She, in turn, took the episode to the community, and at once, the principal and the children were in a firestorm of controversy. The minister where the principal attended church even dedicated a sermon to chastising the principal for his lack of patriotism. Well, this was the last time the principal attended a church, except to go to a mandatory church services later when he was drafted into boot camp in World War II. He had a doctorate in education from Columbia University and a master's degree in personnel management. The Navy was in need of personnel officers at the start of the Second World War. However, he was not able to get a commission for a long time because of the incident in South Carolina. The Navy questioned his loyalty. Finally, he applied for a commission, giving only in-service references, and he became an officer in the Navy. After the war, he and his wife moved to Chicago. They never went to church, but they sometimes listened to the religious broadcasts on the radio over their Sunday morning breakfast, just to get their blood going. One morning, they happened to tune in to a broadcast from People's Church of Chicago, and they heard the Reverend Dr. Preston Bradley, a Unitarian minister. In his sermon, Dr. Bradley praised Tom Paine for his ideas about religious freedom. The couple got up from their breakfast table, they got dressed, they drove to People's Church, and they joined on the spot. This is why they attended church on Sunday mornings. Another story comes from Reverend Eugene Pickett, who was past president of our association, now retired and living on Cape Cod. Gene was born and raised in Westminster, Maryland. He wrote, "During my growing up years in a small village in Maryland, the local Methodist church was central in my life. But in my high school years, questions and doubts about my religious beliefs began to surface. Feelings of isolation began to grow, for there was no one with whom I could discuss my changing beliefs and experiences, no one to share my yearning and searching. My high school and early college days and my time in the Navy were deeply lonely times. I still recall with painful intensity those early months in the Navy when I was just 18, frightened and alone. At the end of the day, I would crawl into my bunk and pull the blankets over my head and pray that God or someone would help me in my loneliness. And then I would cry myself to sleep, fearful that someone in a nearby bunk would hear me. Praying didn't seem to help, but I think the crying did. How much I needed someone to share my religious search. How great was my need for someone to care. The need for supportive and searching religious community has never left me. That, in part, is why I became a minister. That, in part, is why I am committed to building a strong Unitarian Universalist movement. Still another clue to why we are here can be found in a story told to me by Reverend Brandock Lovely, who served as minister of Neighborhood Church out in Pasadena, California. 9 years after he entered the ministry, before he went to Pasadena, Brandock was serving a church in Texas. And he went through a deep personal and professional crisis. He started to have serious doubts about the value of having churches at all. In the back of his mind, he would go to church on Sunday and deliver a sermon, but think to himself, this is all pointless. This is a futile project. He doubted whether his sermons had any value. He would go to church social events. He thought they were superficial. He'd go to committee meetings, and they seemed endless. The same issues seemed to come up at board meetings month after month and never really get decided or resolved. He was weary of the church fundraising. He's tired of the chronic complainers in his congregation. As the minister of the church, he felt like he was a dartboard for every liberal who had a problem with authority. But one weekend, an event occurred that swept away all these doubts about the value of churches and religious communities. On Friday, in a Texas town not far away from where Brandock Lovely was serving as the minister, the President of the United States was shot and killed. That Sunday, as Brandock approached his church with the sermon he had quickly written in response to the president's assassination, he found the parking lot so full that he had to park far away on a street, a side street near the church. When he finally found a parking spot and walked to the sanctuary, he found it filled with people. They needed to be together. And Brandock became convinced that morning of the essential value of the church. There might be times when a Sunday service is dry and dull, times when a committee meeting feels like a waste of time, but we keep coming back. Because in times of celebration and in times of loss, the church community is where we turn. Reverend Lovely's story gives us a clue about why we are here. At times of crisis, we need to be part of a religious community, to sing together, to hold each other, to pray together. We experience national crises, but we also experience personal, individual turning points in our own lives. Who knows what's going on in all of you this morning? We go through a divorce, we lose a job, we become ill, or someone close to us becomes ill. And we get ourselves out of bed and we go to church, hoping to find some help in the words, the music, the community of people. We who lead worship, the minister, the musicians, the choir, those who work in the back with the sound system and the screen, we who lead worship, we might never know the details of a particular person's crisis, but we know that you are out there, and we hope that what we do on Sunday helps you a little. In my own case, back in the 1950s, my parents packed their children into the car and drove for half an hour to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Phoenix. It was an ordeal to get us dressed, a family of four children and two adults. And because they did it on a regular basis, I know that the Unitarian Universalist Church was worth a great deal to them that no other church would do. So when my mother died of illness when I was 14, the minister officiated at her service, and I learned a new reason why church is important. And this is one reason I attend church. Like the school principal, I'm here because this is a place where the principles of separation of church and state are respected and promoted. Like the young man struggling with deep loneliness, I have also struggled with loneliness, and I have found a community in this church. Like those who attend church when the president was assassinated, during times of crisis in our community or our nation, I need to be with others. And I'm here because I remember the support I received from the church when my mother died from illness. I think of Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. In the cartoon, Calvin couldn't sleep. He said, "I think the reason nighttime is dark is so you can imagine your fears with less distraction." At nighttime, the world always seems so big and scary, and I always seem so small. I wish I could fall asleep so it would be morning. He pulled the covers up over his head with a deep sigh. Then, bouncing up again, he looked over at Hobbes. "Look at Hobbes, he's asleep. He sure looks funny when he sleeps. Tigers close their eyes so tight. I wonder what he's dreaming about." Good old Hobbes. What a friend. He reaches over and he touches Hobbes and says, "Things are never as scary when you've got a best friend." Indeed. Things are never as scary when you have friends. So welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Sarasota. It is good to have you with us.